Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
What are the landmark legal cases regarding teaching the controversy over evolution? I'm Keith Pinnock, and today on our show, we continue a radio interview that Policy and Legal Affairs Officer Casey Luskin did with ARN's Kevin Wirth, where they discuss just that.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Darwin or Design Show. I'm your guest host, Kevin Wirth, and we're talking today with our special guest, Casey Luskin, about the legal cases related to what is permissible to teach in our public schools and what some of the landmines are around that issue. And now, let's get back with our guest, and incidentally, one of the hardest working guys I know, Casey Luskin. So, Gaston County Board of Education, what's the key essence on that case?
This is a case where a student teacher actually was asked by his students, what do you believe about evolution? Do you believe in God? You know, some kind of questions that students might be interested in. And he answered those questions honestly. He told the students that he happened to be an agnostic. He was not a religious person. And that, yes, he did believe in evolution. And unfortunately, the school district then, I believe, actually dismissed him. And he filed a lawsuit saying, well, hey, I should have the right to answer questions from students. If they're asking me about my personal views, you should not be prohibiting me from answering those questions. And I think the court was absolutely right in that they agreed with Moore that it was permissible for him to be able to answer questions from students, because if he couldn't do that, then that would, quote, cast a pall of orthodoxy over the classroom, unquote. This is from, by the way, the lowest level of the federal courts back in the 1970s. So it's an old case from a lower court. But I hope that that kind of logic would apply to both a teacher who, say, happened to be a religious agnostic and supported evolution, as much as it would apply to a teacher who, say, happened to be a skeptic of evolution. And so if a student asked a teacher, do you believe in evolution? And the teacher said, you know what? No, I'm a scientific skeptic of Darwinism, and I feel that there's science that challenges Darwin. You can make up your own mind for yourself, but this is where I stand since you're asking. I would hope that would be just as equally permissible.
Okay, so as the district court found, when students inquire about a teacher's views on evolution under the Moore ruling, then that teacher may answer those questions regardless of whether he or she supports Darwinism or dissents from Darwinian evolution, right?
That's what I'd sure like to think, yeah.
We hope, but we know that many times that's not the case.
However, the real world, there can be a double standard applied, unfortunately, where certain viewpoints are more permissible by the administration in the classroom, but I would hope that this would hold up, yeah.
Well, what about a school district's standard for teacher speech? Do you find that that provides an issue anywhere along the line in these cases?
As far as what they can teach on evolution?
Yeah, for freedom of speech and stuff like that.
Well, some school districts have actually passed what we would call academic freedom policies, where basically they try to protect the rights of teachers to talk about both the evidence for and against evolution, and the teachers don't have to worry about losing their jobs if they do that. I think that's a great way for school districts to sort of provide teachers with the freedom to talk about controversial science without having to, you know, be always fearing what will happen. Will I lose my job? And some of these policies don't just pertain to evolution. They pertain to controversial scientific topics in general. I can tell you that a lot of teachers are very thankful when these policies are adopted, because they allow teachers to function in a way where they don't have to always be looking over their shoulder. Oh my gosh, if I say that there are highly credentialed scientists out there that doubt Darwin, am I going to get, am I going to be transferred to teaching PE tomorrow? Or am I going to even have a job? You don't have to worry about that. No offense to PE teachers, but biology teachers, they want to teach biology.
It's just a different class, Casey, right? So what advice would you give to a teacher, a high school teacher, who's looking to get that kind of a policy enacted in his district, and yet he doesn't want to let him know that he's the one who wants to see this kind of policy put in place because he doesn't want to risk, or jeopardize his career?
Well, I would say if you are interested in doing something like that, contact us at the Discovery Institute. We have worked with teachers, school board members, state board of education members, and legislators all around the U.S. in dozens of states to deal with these kind of issues. We can help give you practical and helpful advice. If you do this, in our experience, are you going to be jeopardizing your job? I think that usually in most districts, teachers will find out by just kind of knowing folks that they're not alone, that there are other Darwin skeptics in the closet, so to speak. And you just have to make friends and find those allies, people who you can be yourself with, be open about your own viewpoints with. You don't have to worry about them then, you know, going and ratting on you and trying to get you fired. It has happened before where people, you know, simply share about their views on evolution in the lunchroom and come back and find that, you know, they've lost their job or they're being transferred to stop teaching biology and soon thereafter. So I know you know about some of these cases, Kevin. So this is not, unfortunately, something that never happens, but it's tough to give one size fits all advice for your question or for a lot of these questions. So that's why I would say contact us at Discovery Institute. You gave my email address at cluskin@discovery.org. And we would love to help teachers navigate these tricky waters.
Okay, great. Let's move on to another case, Levesque v. Independent School District. What would you say is the essence that we'd want to communicate to our listeners today on that case?
Well, this was a case where a public school teacher named Ronley Levesque, he had actually worked very hard to get his master's in teaching to teach biology. And he waited for a long time to actually get the biology teacher position at his school. He taught other subjects. He worked his way up. Finally, he got the biology teacher position. And he had not even taught any scientific criticisms yet of evolution. But he made the mistake of mentioning to a colleague in the lunchroom or something to that effect that he had doubts in his head about evolution. Again, he had not even criticized evolution in the classroom. Well, lo and behold, soon thereafter, he was transferred away from teaching biology. And he filed a lawsuit saying that his freedom of speech rights had been violated in that, you know, he had the right to be able to talk about scientific criticisms of evolution in the classroom. Now, the court actually ruled with the school district here. They actually said that the school district had the right to transfer Mr. Levesque away from teaching biology because the district had the right to basically exercise complete control over the science curriculum. And so some people will sometimes cite this case as saying, well, does this case say that teaching scientific criticisms of evolution is unconstitutional? And the answer is definitely no. This case is not a case about the constitutionality of teaching scientific critique of evolution. What it is a case about is it's an employment law case over the rights of an employer, in this case a school district, to control the speech of their employee, in this case a biology teacher, while that person is on the job. In other words, this case says that the school district and the administration are basically little demigods who control the curriculum of their school district, and they have the right to basically dictate to a public school teacher what they can or cannot say in the classroom. And so this is not a case where a court ruled that teaching evolution critically is unconstitutional, not at all. What it is a case is that it says that a school district basically has the right to control its curriculum. And if a teacher is going to bring scientific criticisms of evolution and the district does not want the teacher to do that, they can shut it down simply because the district has the right to control the curriculum. The district could control anything that the teacher is saying, essentially. If the teacher wanted to talk about, you know, how to make a better marshmallow and the district didn't want the teacher doing that, they would have the right to stop the teacher from doing that. So that's basically what this case stands for, is that the district can control the curriculum. Now, there is a solution to this kind of a quandary. And that is, as we talked about earlier, academic freedom legislation. If you want to give teachers the freedom to talk about scientific controversies in an objective and open fashion, not shutting down speech, but allowing teachers to have the freedom to really give students the critical thinking tools to explore these controversies fully and not, you know, shutting down one side of them, then you can have an academic freedom policy passed at the local or the statewide level. And if those kind of policies are in place, then teachers like Rodney Levesque really do have the right, I think, to talk about scientific criticisms of evolution without having to fear for losing their jobs or being transferred. So that's an important point that comes out of this case.
Yeah, but wasn't Roger DeHart doing just exactly that?
Well, yeah, Roger DeHart is a different case. Again, I think that what we saw in that case was he was simply giving scientific critiques of evolution, and the school district basically decided they did not want him to do that. I don't know all the details of that case as much, and it didn't go to court, but in that case, basically, a bunch of people in the community came down and said, what he's doing is illegal, it's unconstitutional. It never went to court, there was no court ruling, but unfortunately, the Darwin lobby basically scared the district into censoring Roger DeHart's speech. And this is just an example of what we talked about before, how the Darwin lobby takes a good thing, the establishment clause, designed to protect against religious establishment in public schools, and use it to censor legitimate scientific speech. I mean, in DeHart's case, he was simply using peer-reviewed scientific papers from leading journals that challenged what was in the textbooks. Clearly scientific speech, not religious speech, and yet, you know, the Darwin lobby did not want that going on. So
yeah,
we can
they
see
sure
what's really
didn't.
Going on here.
They sure didn't. Well, folks, you're listening to our guest, Casey Luskin, and we'll be right back after this short break on Darwin or Design.
For more on the legal issues surrounding teaching the controversy, stay tuned. I'm Keith Pinnock with ID the Future, and thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.